Greetings to all comrades out there. I am Jason Snell, joined by Dan Morin. And this, once again, we're back for the NASA / Star City Vending Machine, Episode 7, Plow Deep. Hi, Dan.
Здравствуйте, Jason. Don't plow shallow, I guess?
No, plow deep on the farm where our friend Belikova is fixing tractors.
Everyone farms. When they retire, the chief designer goes and pulls out some beets.
Yeah.
Anastasia's working on the farm, fixing tractors. It's the great Soviet breadbasket, yeah. I guess.
So when we last left you, there was like a boom on the spaceship going to Venus.
Cliffhanger.
And
surely.
The chief designer was arrested. And so how much fun do you think it was for the writers to say the next episode is going to start with 1971? So
wow.
Time jump.
I had a moment here where I did briefly wonder, like, did I hit the right episode, right?
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't just leave us hanging with all of those things that happened at the end of last week.
But yeah, no, but they do. Did. They do. They do. So Plow Deep, yeah, 1971. So it's been a little while. It's been it's the next year, basically. So it's not a huge time jump, but it's a huge time jump. And what we get is that the Ludmilla taking over as she did at the end of last episode, the KGB is taking over the space program. Well, of course, what does that lead to? The new Salyut space station, which is actually a spy satellite that's got taken pictures of American military installations, and, as we discover, a new chief designer, who is the guy from
Petrovsky.
It's Petrovsky, yeah.
Yeah, I like they mentioned that they're restricting everything to the orbit of Earth.
Yeah,
like they're not going beyond Earth.
None of these moons and planets things.
Yeah, they've covered everything up as a training accident.
Yeah.
The Venera mission. We see there's some plaques.
Yeah,
for
some
the
memorial
three of them, and I think the one that died when the guy that died when certain. Sasha's other mission when the Habs.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Right.
Yeah, he's
right.
There too. There's four of them shown. So, and everybody is having a bad time in 1971.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's it's a KGB spy operation now is what it is. The space program. For All Mankind universe, there's no more grievous sin than not wanting to explore space, right? And that's the sin here, again, is the KGB is not interested in exploration. They're going to spy. That's what they want to do. And that's their failing. That's the failing of their vision. Let's see what else is going on. Sergey is doing engineering stuff, working hard, doing something. He's just
sitting
doing
in the
a lot
basement,
of math.
Doing calculations.
Doing math. It's like his job. Anastasia Belikova is working at the farm, fixing a tractor. She comes inside. This is her dad's farm. It's where she grew up. And on the TV, we see about how at the UN, George Bush made some accusations about the Salyut space station being used for military purposes.
The only thing that I thought was weird about this was that the Soviet Union would acknowledge this at all.
Right.
Like in its internal, he's he made these outrageous accusations, which aren't true. And everyone... You've got the feeling that everybody watching this would be like, yeah, of course they're true.
Why would you?
It's like, why would they tell them at all?
Why would you relay that instead of not even ignoring any truthful accusation? You wouldn't deny it to your own people. You just not allow them to know it.
That was for us, not
that was
for
us.
The people in this world.
But I'll take it. I in the moment I said, okay, maybe they just decided that it was better to score points on the outrageous capitalist running dogs than it was to spend it. But yes, it is a little George Bush cameo from his time at the... I mean, he was at the CIA. Was that during this? Who knows? It's an alt history.
Yeah, but they say he's the ambassador to the UN.
Ambassador to the UN,
not,
sure.
Not a post I believe he ever held.
Yeah, but he was kicking around. This could be. Arena and her daughter are walking around. And
he was the U.N. ambassador. He was the U.N. ambassador. There you go. Nixon. Boy, he's done. Like, he was one of those guys who did like everything.
He did. So. He did. And then he was at the CIA, and then he was the vice president. Yeah, and then the president. So Irina talking to her daughter, who's still taking music lessons, and she's like, "Well, maybe Tanya will come back." And it's like, she won't. It's not going to happen.
We'll find you a better. Yeah. She hates her current piano teacher.
We'll find you a better one. She's Irina's still in the typing pool. There's a conversation about carrots. The new chief designer Petrovsky says good morning to her, because remember they went to school together.
There's a subtle bit of work here where after he walks through, all the women kind of look up and look at each other, and you get the feeling that, like, the feeling I got from this was that, I mean, he is a young up and comer and he's not bad looking, right? So I get the feeling that they're trying to imply that he's paying her special attention, and maybe that's, you know, is there some other ulterior motive?
Yeah,
there?
you're a favorite of this guy. What's going on there? Moscow is furious about Americans getting some film, so they've been doing a thing that I just want to point out to our listeners really happened, which is when you had spy satellites in the early days, what they did was literally drop film and pick it up, drop it out in space, have it go to the ground and pick it up. And in fact, there's a famous case where I think there was some spy satellite film that was landed in Scandinavia or something that was supposed to be Soviet, and they got it. I mean, these are stories from the Cold War. So this actually happened. So in this case, what they're saying is that some of that, one of the film drops went awry and the Americans got it. And Moscow is furious about this. And we need an engineering solution here. We need a way to basically transmit the images, rather, you know, basically develop these images and transmit them using the radio rather than dropping film, because the dropped film can get retrieved by the enemy. The problem is that, like, the engineers seem to be loyal to the previous chief designer, loyal to Korolev, not to Petrovsky. Of course they are. It's his handpicked. I mean, and there's almost like a cult aspect to Korolev, right? Like, he's the beloved chief designer, and he put the whole thing together, and they all follow him. And then they replace him, they arrest him. And, like, does everybody else want to work for this new guy?
So I like this interview, because part of it is also the engineer who's the new chief engineer.
Right.
That they, you know, like, call on him there, you know, a little bit. And there's a bit where we see him, like, getting interviewed. And that's what we think, you know, the supposition from Petrovsky is that they're just loyalists, because that's what he understands, right? That's how he understands the system.
If I ask you to do something and you say you can't, it's because you won't. Like, right. Or we can't, because it's science. It's like, no, we don't like it. He asks about Irina to Lyudmila, and she's like, look, he's like, she figured this out. And she's like, well, I love this, because he's trying to play her up and she's trying to play her down. Yeah. And this is funny, because she's her, you know, kind of her protege in some ways. But now she's like, well, she did it right, but she did it at the wrong time in the wrong way.
Yeah.
And the wrong time has nothing to do with her choices. It worked out that way. But she's going to use that to condemn her here, because she's going to say anything to condemn Irina that she can, because she doesn't like that this guy, who's her enemy, basically, is her rival, is talking her up. And he says, I think you should consider her strengths. But it's just a suggestion, which strongly implies that it's not just a suggestion.
Yeah. Yeah. He also has, I think he has a line too, where he says, like, look where I am now, you know, like, kind of as a, oh, I was just started from humble beginning, because they're from the same place, right?
Now, you know, fancy.
Look where I am now. And clearly also a bit of a slap in the face to her, because though in the past, like, right, we were just talking in the last episode, the chief Korolev and Lyudmila had this kind of push and pull relationship. But Petrovsky is KGB and the chief designer.
Yeah, he's
right?
Been
so
sent
he is
by
the
Moscow.
De facto
he's in
leader.
Charge.
Yeah. Everything.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. She can't pull it over on him like she could on Korolev. And that is she hates it. She does not like that, right? Yep. Like, that's part of it. Belikova has a an event at the like the farm workers union or something like that. There's a bright spotlight and she's speaking and she's it's awkward and the guy with the mustache who's like the deputy
Tarasov,
is there.
Our weaselly apparatchik. Yes,
yeah, exactly. I love he is an apparatchik. Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, no, he's a fun character. And she introduces this thing and they apparently they made a film about her. There's like a documentary, propaganda documentary that's going to screen in the Soviet Union and then be taken abroad too about they're making more hay with Belikova and her first woman on the moon and all of that. But she's looking at the film and Sasha's in the film and it makes her sad and she goes outside and she sobs because of course she had that connection that she finally made to Sasha and then of course he sadly died when the fire consumed everybody on the space.
So I had a note here of a thing that I realized based on our speculation from earlier in the season,
mm-hmm.
Which is, and this we'll get to this with the end of the episode.
Yeah.
But we had speculated about our friend Lenya Polivanov. And clearly, she is not. There is no. She has not had a child.
She's not pregnant.
As far as we can tell, she's not pregnant.
The 9-month trip to Venus is not timed for a pregnancy because she's not pregnant.
Right. Because we had thought that might happen. But also, I guess she may not be dead because that hasn't happened yet.
Exactly. That's the struggle with this episode is, wait a second. If Polivanov in For All Mankind is their kid, then she must be pregnant because Sasha's dead now. But
or
if she's not pregnant,
really, I thought for a second this is where I went down this like conspiracy rabbit holes of weird Russian things that like Tarasov would be like, well, we need hope for the Soviet Union, so you're going to adopt this child and pretend it was your child. Look, that's a lot of plot contrivance, but also totally plausible.
The show just wants to keep you guessing here, right? It's like they blindfolded you and spun you around a couple of times. They want to keep you guessing, well, wait a second, what does that mean? And you can connect the dots if you want to. I was connecting the dots because, as I said last episode, I suspected this all along. But I'm marking the dots and saying there's another dot that leads me to a potential conclusion that we'll get to at the end of the episode. So there's an engineer who's like, look, we sent people to other planets. Now all we do is look down. Who knows where that might have led us? Again, this is the kind of the charter of the whole For All Mankind universe. There's only one chief designer. This guy is a KGB stooge who doesn't know anything. You think
we
are
tell the difference between liquid oxygen and vodka.
Yeah.
At which point, Ludmilla's like, I'll remind you this is being recorded.
Yeah.
He's like, oops.
You're all out of order. This whole thing is out of order. You think we're doing this on purpose, like resisting your demands. We're not. Ideas don't form out of thin air. They require inspiration. And you know there's only one person who can do that. And they lead him out, and then they turn to the next guy and say, congrats, dude, you're now the lead engineer.
Want to say, this character, I did a double take at the end of the episode when I saw the credits, because I recognized the actor's name, although I found him entirely unrecognizable. This is, I believe, Sam Trotton, the grandson of
Patrick Trotton. Yeah.
Who I knew from the mid-2000s Robin Hood series. And I think they're probably doing a little bit extra. He was also in Chernobyl, I guess. I didn't recognize him at all. And then we got to the end and I saw a credit. I was like, is that the same Sam Trotton? And I ran it back. I'm like, okay, I guess it is. But, you know, the years are not always kind to all of us. And also, they probably made him up a bunch.
Yeah, but... This scene, I like this, and I know I've been harping on this a lot the last couple episodes, but this is where I put it in my notes, especially. It's like, this is the whole joke of the Soviet system, which is the KGB doesn't know anything about running a space program, right? We put the police in charge of the space program. It doesn't make any sense. And they don't know how it works. The whole, doesn't know liquid oxygen from vodka. And they don't care because it's a talent. This is the other thing. And I think that there's probably some commentary about current events going on here, too, which is if you're in a system that requires adherence to orthodoxy, regardless of the truth of it, and you're confronted by truth, by facts, by science, by how the world really is, there is a fundamental conflict. Because these people just have said the sky is brown. And you're like, no, the sky is blue. And it's like, no, it can't be blue, right? And in the space program, the science really matters. The facts really matter. And that's what this engineer is saying. But that's the whole point here, is that you've put people in charge whose jobs require them to believe things that aren't true. And they're going to make sure they are. So like if the one guy, if they're like, you need to do this thing. And they're like, we can't. We don't know how. And he's like, well, then you're fired. Take him away, boys. You'll make it happen. It's like, well, that'll work. That'll solve it.
That's
right?
The guy who knows. Clearly, you should have put him in charge in the first place.
Yeah. If I ask you to contravene the laws of physics and you say no, it's because you're disloyal. And I will go to the next guy until I get somebody to say yes, which, of course, reinforces the whole system because now you have yes men who are speaking in contravention of reality, and it just builds up this whole system. And that's the whole point here, is like this is a great flashpoint for this whole thought, which is like, yes, the KGB should not be running a space program. They don't know what they're doing.
Anything, but
or anything. Indeed. Well, they're very good at torture, but I wouldn't put them in charge of it.
I don't
personally.
Do we need a department for that?
No, exactly. Exactly. Well, we got to employ KGB guys. We'll have them torture each other. It'll be fun. We'll put them on an island. Anyway, that's my pitch. Sergey is like, I got to get out of here. And so he has a friend, and he's like, can you smuggle this job application out? Because I want to become like a science professor. And he's like, Why would you want to leave Star City?
Why would you want to leave here?
The pinnacle. And he's like, I need a change. It isn't what it used to be.
Are you paying attention?
Well, that guy is clueless, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's going to learn. The chief designer. Hey, what's he up to? They didn't just shoot him. They didn't just send him back to the gulag. In fact, that is pointed out momentarily by Ludmilla. He's pulling beats while under armed guard. And he's with his wife. They're at a little house. And his wife says, you've got a visitor. It is Ludmilla.
She's in civvies, too. This might be the first time we see her in civvies in the entire show.
Yeah. And this is the Ludmilla, this is great, right? Because, like, she wins. She won. And yet, we know that she's kind of on the back foot now because there's a new chief designer who's a KGB guy. And so he's kind of in charge and she's not. So, but she beat Korolev. She beat him. But now she's visiting him, which means she wants something. So she's victorious, yet not. And now she's got to go to Korolev. And you think, well, he's a prisoner and she's got the upper hand. But it's like, but does she? Because she has to go to him and ask him for help. I love the cross dynamic here, right? Which is like, again, this relationship is at the core of the show. And it's so fascinating where it's like, who has the upper hand? And like, he's got facts on his side and he's got righteousness on his side and he has science on his side. But, you know, she has the power of the Soviet state on her side. But in this moment, you know, he's powerless and yet holds power over her because he has something she needs. I love it.
I love this too, because the subtlety of their interplay of their dynamics, because Ludmilla is trying to get something from him. I, you know, as I commented, she's in civvies, which I think is it's a deliberate move, right?
It's a choice.
She could have showed up in her uniform, but she's trying to seem less threatening. Oh, I'm an old friend.
We're out here pulling beats.
We're having our chat and whatever. And similarly, I think the tone we see her strike, it's not exactly conciliatory, but it is more mild. Like there's some more, she is less grumpy. I don't know like the right word. She's trying to play up a little more congeniality about them.
Yeah. Oh, humanity. You
know, Exactly. But it's an act. We know this, right? Because she's just trying to get something out of him.
Yeah.
And I love this conversation because she tells him, like, oh, you know, Stalin threw you in the gulag.
Yeah.
For no reason. And you came out of that and went back to work because you're a patriot. And he's like,
I was a fool.
I'm an idiot. Yeah.
Petrovsky is neither.
Yes.
Which is so great. So, yeah, she wants. First off, she has to say, so the space station, we put surveillance on. And he's like, oh, great. Good job. And she's like, well, but we need a more secure system. And he's like, I can't help you after you killed my eagles. You killed my eagle. What you did to my eagles, he says. And she says, I only did what I had to. And he says, yeah, why don't you ask your chief designer? And she's like, Petrovsky, oh, he sucks.
He's terrible.
He may harm Star City irreparably. And she's like, now I'm going to make the big patriotic appeal to you. And like you said, her big patriotic appeal to him is, look, Stalin threw you in the gulag and you got over it. And he's like, come on. Are you kidding me?
That's your move?
Are you kidding me? Petrovsky will destroy everything we have built together. I think that's just an amazing what. Anyway, he says, all right, this is what I'll give you. There is an algorithm that we used on Venera for transmitting images that could probably be adapted, and the same equipment is on Salyut, right? Salyut is the space station, I think.
Yep.
Go to town. Good luck. Like that's your lead. That's all I'm willing to give you. Now, of course, having seen this whole episode, we know there's a real reason why these things are connected that leads to a thing that happens. But he's throwing her a bone. He's basically like, here's the direction you want to go, and get out of here. Find yourself another fool. But like, it's interesting because like he gets to be proud at the end of it, but he did help her, didn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, he has
and what is the appeal
loyalty,
of you know? Petrovsky destroying what they built together? It's like he got removed and they're ruining the space program. Is there an appeal to be had of like, you got to help me prevent the space program from being destroyed? It's like, you removed me and are complicit in the destruction of the space. You want to go back to when you and I were running the space program instead of Petrovsky? Are you kidding me? Like, it's just amazing. And yet he does give her a lead. He does. I don't know.
He can't help himself, I think, is part of it. It's like,
I think so. I think so.
He's still...
Well, he says, I was a fool. Find yourself another fool. He knows he's a fool, but he did help her a little bit. Like, anyway, those scenes are the best thing in the show. It's just, they're so great, those two characters. Visitors at the farm for Belikova. It is, Tarasov. It's the our apparatchik. The man, literally look up apparatchik, and it's a picture of Tarasov. I love it.
I like that guy.
Big mustache.
This was the moment I was like, they kind of zigged instead of zagging, which I appreciated, which is... There, I thought, okay, this guy, we've seen him in all these interactions with her, and I'm like, is he sinister, or is he harboring some sort of like, oh, well, now that she's a widow, perhaps I can marry the hero of the Soviet Union, or, you know, my previously mentioned absurd child plot or whatever, but it's none of that. Like, it's not even personal, right? Because he's an apparatchik, he has no personal existence. His existence is purely a function of the state. So all he does is the bidding of the state, as we will see.
Although he has, I think there's a person, he gives it a personal touch. I like that in an apparatchik. Give it the personal touch.
a little bit of polish.
He says, first off, he's like, we realize you became close. Love comes when you least expect it. Mm. He says, it's no longer in the best interest of the state for you to remain here. You've given everything for us. It is time for us to return the favor. Thank you. For all the work you've done, we need another cosmonaut. And she's upset. And he's like, is that not all that you wanted? It's like, I thought this was going to be easy. And she's like, it is all that I've wanted, but I do not believe that you're doing this for me. What do you want, basically? And he says, okay. Because she's smart. And I think he says at some point here, like, oh, how you've grown.
Yes.
You're a much more savvy person than you were.
Because remember, naive.
You know, earlier in the season, she was much more naive, and she has learned a lot of lessons ever since going through this whole process of being the figurehead of the first woman on the moon and all of that. And he says, we must convince the world that Salyut is peaceful. And what better way to do that than to send Earth's sweetheart to the Salyut space station? So your return to space will provide an alternative narrative.
Right. I love this because he's like, you know, the Americans, they've accused us of doing this thing. And she's like,
Which we did.
Yeah. And like, well, whatever, you know.
Be that as it may.
It's just business.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, not only is it your return to space will provide an alternative narrative, it is a plane will take you to Baikonur. It's like, you're just going up. She's like, what? But I haven't trained. He's like, but, doesn't matter. The KGB guys will do all the work. You just have to be there and we'll show off that you're there. You're just a cover story. So once again, just as with her first mission, she's just a piece, a pawn. She's a pawn being moved around by powers greater than her.
Game of Life.
Yeah. Pawn. Yes, that's right. Just pawn in Game of Life. Sergei comes home to find his door is open and they have tossed his apartment and his job application is sitting on a pillow.
I just love they put it like a mint
on a like, pillow, yeah.
Just in case you were wondering why.
Why?
It's yeah, not here. Just a random dog running no. through your apartment destroying it. We did this to
now, you. Now, when you go to work in a little while and your buddy has vanished, you'll know why. You won't have but to speculate. You'll know.
It's another interesting moment because they could just disappear him or yeah. kill him, right? And they don't, which not unlike Korolev makes it feel like, well, he still has utility. Still, we know yeah. this guy is valuable and he knows stuff.
He's a like brilliant engineer. And so we're exactly. not going to destroy. Like there's levels, right? There's the, you don't get a promotion. There's the, we're going to send you a message by tossing your apartment. There's the, you disappear and you're under house arrest. And there's the, we sent you to the gulag. And there's the, we just shoot you in the head and bury you in a grave somewhere.
Right. He's already been locked up once.
Yeah. Yeah, but I also think that it really is like this guy has value, so we'll keep him around. We can take it slow with him. You can't just shoot all of your brilliant engineers right away
because you can't unkill him.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not gonna happen.
And I would imagine that they know that a lot of people, you just do a couple of these steps and they're broken and they'll do whatever you want. Right. That's the whole system. So he's been given his warning, but his friend who is actually trying to spirit documents out of Star City, he's gone. So that's the difference. Whereas this guy just would like to escape, please, to not to like the West, just to a position as a professor in Moscow. And they're like, well, no, you're at Star City now. You can't leave. Yeah. Arena is talking to Petrovsky. And they're talking about
Arena or about
Ludmilla.
About Ludmilla holding her back.
Yes. Yeah, you don't need to learn anything from her, he says. People like us must control Star City. So again, this is that I've got my eye on you.
Yeah.
And then I'm fascinated by the construction, the just poisonous constructions of narratives here. This is the, you mean to tell me an American agent escaped on a ship to Venus and you think that Ludmilla didn't know?
Right.
And again, it's like a bad thing happened. A person was in charge. I don't like them. I'm going to say that they must have been complicit in the conspiracy over it. It's like, of course she didn't know, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I don't think he doesn't even really, I'm not
sure
he really believes that. Right?
It doesn't matter just, if he
means yeah. to an end. He
yeah,
needs
exactly.
to get her. He needs evidence, as he says, that it's in the state's best interest
yes.
to remove her.
And she says, you want me to get that for you? He's like, yeah, you know, can you do that for me?
And we also get that hint here more about her background, right?
Yes.
He says to her,
I know how much you had to endure before you yeah. came here in the tormented hands of such a monster.
We still don't
nope.
really know the details there.
It's very clearly that she was involved with a Brezhnev-adjacent person who is presumably the father of her child
yes.
and was presumably an awful person who is now out of her life and perhaps gone completely. Yeah. Beyond that, we don't know.
Yeah.
So Belikova is on a bus to the launch site. It's her. It's a
scene.
Fun bus. It's the fun bus, Dan.
It's the fun
party
bus.
It's her and the two KGB guys.
I love that because there's the guy up front who
doesn't want to talk to her or look at her. And then the other guy who's sort of chatty.
Kind of chatty.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, he's here. He's here to...
It's our friendly KGB guy.
He's here to do...
He's excited that he's going to space. The other guy is not into it.
I really love this dynamic where she's like, ah, you're KGB. And he's like, yeah, basically. And when they get off and they make him... She has to give a little speech. And then they took pictures of them, and that one guy is really not excited. He's like a head taller than them, right?
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's very funny. It's like the deleted dialogue from this scene is, oh, you guys are KGB guys, but are you excited to go to space? And the one guy's like, yeah, space is cool. And the other guy's like, no. Just, you know, I mean, that's the dynamic here.
I go where I told.
No excitement. Not allowed. They get their photos taken, and then they're launched. And Petrovsky,
she points out in the scene with Tarasov, she's like, I haven't trained for it. He's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. We're
it's
sending
fine.
Other people.
Like, yeah, we push the buttons. Don't worry about
literally,
it.
Literally, this was like yesterday because he says you're on a bus to Baikonur tomorrow morning. Like,
yeah.
Literally 12 hours later, she's going to space.
Yeah. Petrovsky's inspirational speech in Mission Control, and he's like, let's all applaud. Yay, we launched a mission. Yay. This guy. And again, I guess, like, he's an empty suit, but what you gonna do? He's the guy who's in charge. Sergey, this is where Sergey goes to work and finds that his buddy is gone. He just didn't show up. He begins working. The Soyuz comes into dock at Salyut. The one guy is like, this is beautiful. This is amazing. The other guy doesn't care.
Doesn't care.
Sergey continues to do math. Lots of math. Frantic math. They are docking. There's the soft capture. Cut back to Sergey. He has a revelation involving his math. He's like, oh. What could this be? So we're going to pause that for a second. Irina buzzes at Ludmilla's door. Ho ho.
Oh, boy. Also, can I just compliment the tracksuit that Ludmilla's wearing? What an amazing, just great looking, just leisure wear.
Yeah.
Leisure wear in
Soviet
KGB leisure wear at home. Ah, gosh, it's great. I love it. It was so good.
And she's like, oh, Petrovsky was going to send some of these surveillance photos out without a sign-off. And this is very much like, I have your best interests at heart here because you are supposed to sign off on these things. Petrovsky doesn't even want to, he doesn't even care that you're not involved anymore, which you should be. So there's that definitely the hint of that going on here, which is like, oh,
so many flips in this scene. The scene goes topsy-turvy from like several times.
And then she goes into the other room and she's got like, she's going to plant a bug, but then she doesn't because she sees a picture of Ludmilla with a child. What? And then Ludmilla comes out and says his name is Dima. He was killed during the war. It was a long time ago. At which point, Irina is like, yeah, I'm here to plant a bug. Petrovsky wants to have you removed. And she said, well, what are you waiting for? Follow your orders, which is so savvy, right? It's like, you can't not plant the bug.
Yeah, he'll know.
Because he'll know. And
you're out then.
So, and then she said, you got to follow your orders. You will continue to report to him. And to me. Yes, Comrade Colonel.
So now she's a double agent.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Irina.
I mean, it's really just sort of like divided loyalties in the KGB.
Sure.
But yeah.
Sure. But that is a classic like doubling thing where it's like, okay, yep, you're going to keep doing that. And also you're going to tell me.
Also me. But she's already signaled. I mean, that's the thing. Even before she shows the bug to her, her pretense is even... I'm kind of on your side.
Yeah.
And then, you know, seeing
Irina herself is conflicted, right? I think she herself would rather, even though I don't think she likes Ludmilla, right? We go back to that first episode.
I don't think so. But she gets that empathy with her and her dead son, right?
Yep.
She feels a little empathy that this is a human being. And how do we really feel about Petrovsky, right?
Yeah, that's just it. There's a devil you know kind of thing, right? Which is Ludmilla is clearly...
You know what
a monster
Ludmilla
in
wants.
Service of the state.
Yeah.
But she is two lines of code.
You get her. Petrovsky is potentially really bad because he's so ambitious.
Yes.
And we got to say, I think the undercurrent here is perhaps familiar to her, given whatever happened to her in the past. This is a climber who's very ambitious. And although he says, oh, that was so terrible and all that, is this not maybe a reminder that she allowed herself to get entwined with a powerful, climbing, or influential man who ended up being, you know, disastrous for her life? So maybe...
Yeah. And I think she sees through him into
a red flag
degree
there.
Is that he is insincere, even though he's good at putting
on... But Ludmilla, you're right. We know what Ludmilla wants.
She's just going to keep doing it.
Not hard. And I would argue even at this point, I would say, Irina... is starting to realize that she's actually better at this than Ludmilla. I think she realizes, and I think that may be why Ludmilla has kind of kept her at arm's length a little bit. It's like Irina's really good at this, and I think Irina's now having thoughts that go beyond what Ludmilla's thoughts are. Like I can outdo her. She's Colonel. She ranks, but like. Certainly, I think she's gotten to the point where she's like, there's nothing she can do that I can't do.
And she has also things to protect. She has a daughter.
Yeah.
And she has a secret.
A secret, yeah, exactly.
And those things, it behooves her to be in control of her own destiny.
Right.
So that she can protect the one which will protect the other.
Exactly. So, Sergei needs to get in and talk to Stepanov, who is the new, you're the new chief engineer,
new chief engineer.
He doesn't want to be seen with him, but obviously these engineers all know each other. Everybody knows Sergei is brilliant. Everybody knows that he was like the teacher's pet with the old chief designer. He said, I need to reach Soyut 1 now. It's very important. He's like, okay. And he's like, I know how we can do this. We'll run a security monitor test. It'll be a thing. There's a pretense for it. He talks on the radio to Belikova.
And she's like,
you seem familiar. He's like, yeah, I'm the engineer who did this thing. He's like, oh, you're the one who told me to stab a hole in my suit so I didn't die. And he's like, yeah, that was me. She's like, great.
Sorry. And she goes, not a problem. You saved my life.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I enjoy that.
Great.
I'll do, basically, you have earned my trust. Yeah. I will do whatever you need me to do.
Yeah, I believe you. So he's like, okay, and we get the backstory here. He downloads it because she's like, why are we doing this? Because, I mean, the Soviet Union, you don't have to ask why, but she's like, you know, this seems a little hinky. So what's going on here? He said, look, the Venera was based on the same equipment that you've got. And we learned that when the chief designer told that to Ludmilla. He said, I saw something strange in the data, in the radio data from Venera that we received. So I need you to run this test.
From Salyut. He sees it from Salyut.
Oh, yeah, from Salyut.
He sees the data from Salyut, but there's something else.
Yeah, they're tuned into that frequency, and they're getting the data from Salyut, and it doesn't seem right. So I need you to run this test. He's like, set the UHF transmitter and do this, all that. And he wants to get what Salyut is seeing. Because what they're seeing on that frequency is supposed to be coming from Salyut, but there's something weird going on. This is how I read it. So if I can get it straight from Salyut, what it's seeing.
Remove that, whatever Salyut is sending.
Then I have a clear idea of what else is being transmitted. And what he realizes is, it has to be data from Venera, right? He says, there's only one other spacecraft that could be transmitting that, and you know what it is.
It's got his algorithm, right? Like, he says something about, like, oh, and it's using my compression or algorithm or something.
It's like, it's literally the only other thing it could be is that it's Venera. And he says, and this is our climactic moment in this episode, he says, and if it wasn't destroyed, it's returning to Earth, because he does the time and he's calculated
right
it out.
Right about now. Yeah, there's a reason they didn't tell us 9 months later, you know, at that title card.
Yeah, because they wanted to leave it there. Look, at which point, by the way, as the credits rolled, or while this scene is going on, Lauren turns to me and she says, all right, you called it.
You know, I had some suspicions early on. They're like, well, do they really kill them? And I'm like, man, but we don't go for like super sci-fi stuff on these shows, right? They're very grounded. And it seems like generally simplest answer is
this,
the case.
This reminds me about Lee being the first man on Mars, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like so improbable.
Don't let them get in the way of a good story, though.
And they drop the revelation and then they leave the explanation to a later episode, right? Because like, this is the cliffhanger. Like, if they're alive, how and why and what? And,
well, are all of them alive, even? Like,
and we don't know. We know nothing about it, which is very similar to sort of like with Lee in For All Mankind. We're like, what? And then they're like, okay, let's explain what happened to Lee. But so it is that kind of a move. But you're right. It is a wild move. And I didn't know how they would do it, but I just had this feeling of like, that sounds like a thing that they would do, that they wouldn't show them dying and then they would reveal that they're not dead. But what I love about this episode is that they're patient. Like, there is the hint, which is if we believe that they had a baby who became the governor of Mars, he can't be dead because she's not pregnant, as it turns out. And then by the time we get to the end of the episode, we're like, I see why Sergei has been frantically doing math all episode. And she gets to be the one who's up there while this is going on. We saw how sad she was about him being dead. And now she's the one who discovers with Sergei that he may not be, because the spacecraft seems to be alive, at least, in this great little last moment. It's good.
I enjoy the moment where Sergei's like, who has a calendar, and he has to like flip back through. He's like, you can do all this complex math, but you can't just be like, 9 months ago was roughly. No.
Yeah.
Got to flip back through the calendar. Remember when we launched that probe. But I agree with you about the slow burn of it is great because in part, though I had wondered whether there was a possibility they were still alive, because the show just keeps moving, you aren't really left to think about it very much. There's enough going on in this episode with everything else that has changed and with getting you up to speed and with all the dynamics that they can, they back burner it. Like, and I, you know, even though I might've wondered like at the end of the episode, the beginning of this episode, like, okay, wait, what did happen? Why did we jump forward so much? And what did we miss? Because they fill it in kind of gradually. I think you takes your mind off it a little bit for the course of this episode. So when that moment happens, even though as they're like tuning in, I'm like, oh my God, it's got to be this. I still thought that moment was so well executed and I had been successfully distracted for the course of the episode to get chills at the end of that when they show it like coming back to Earth and you're like, oh boy. And then along with it, all the consequences. Because
exactly.
We can sit there and think about, well, a lot of things got to happen when they get back to Earth.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reckoning that's going to happen. What does this mean for Korolev? What does it mean for Valya? Tanya still disappeared after hitting Arena. What does it mean for her in Arena? Like, there are implications coming with the inexorable movement of it back towards Earth for all of our characters. And I think that's just an incredibly well set up moment to go into the finale with.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good. Really well done. All right. Well,
I should mention one thing before we go.
Okay.
I should have done this last episode, but I still got it, which is I got a piece of mail for us, Jason.
Oh, what?
From Tom. Tom emailed me because this is about the only way I could find to send you a comment about Star City.
Okay.
One of the major characters is Ludmilla Raskova. You and Jason have been talking a lot about historical questions. I'm pretty sure Ludmilla is inspired by a real woman who was a stunningly successful World War II Russian sniper. The Nazis called her Lady Death. She had over 300 confirmed kills, and the real person's name was Ludmila Pavlichenko. Look her up and notice the haircut. I think that's the clincher. And I did indeed look up this person, and she does have a vibe.
Yeah,
that's a little Ludmila-ish. And though she I think dies much earlier, I don't think it's intended to be the same person, but clearly I think they borrowed a bit from her. Particularly good if you really enjoy it in her in Wikipedia page. There's a picture of her with a justice of the U.S. Supreme Court and Eleanor Roosevelt, which is just a fun moment.
Wow, so, that's amazing.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks, Tom, for sending that in.
That's great.
It was a very cool
little homage to Ludmilla. Very nice. Yeah. All right, we will be back next week for the big finale. We have been recording this podcast for quite a while now because For All Mankind and Star City were back to back. But it will all come to an end next week with the big finale of Star City. We hope you will join us then. Until then, do svidaniya, Dan.
Do svidaniya, Jason.